Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
To welcome each one to our worship service today, and we do trust the Lord will bless each one as we gather around God's Word. I trust it will be a blessing to each and every one of your souls. Now we're going to bow in a word of prayer together, please, and we're going to seek the Lord's face together. So let's still our hearts together before the throne of grace. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that we can come unto Thee, and we thank Thee for the place of prayer. And Father, we do praise Thee for each one that can say that they are a Christian today. They can say they are born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we praise Thee that Thy children can only have that assurance that the love of God is evident in their lives, because we only love Him because He first loved us. And Father, we ask that Thou help us, even in our worship service today, as we sing, as we pray, as we read the Scriptures, as we preach, that everything may be said and done to the honor, the glory, and the exaltation of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that Thou undertake for our every need. And Father, we pray if there be any that are listening to Thy Word today, and they don't yet know and love Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, we pray that today would be the day when they repent and believe the gospel. But Father, undertake for our need. We ask that Thou be pleased to comfort and help Thy people also. For we ask these things in and through the Savior's precious name. Amen. Now we're going to read God's Word together. And we're reading from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in the chapter 27. The book of Proverbs, chapter 27, we're going to read the first 10 verses together. And the Word of God states in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. We trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his holy and precious word. And we're going to sing together now a beautiful old gospel hymn. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'd like you to turn back with me, please, to that portion we read earlier in Proverbs chapter 27. And we're going to take our text as the verse 1. And we're going to be looking at the title today, really a question to our souls. Will tomorrow ever come? Will tomorrow ever come. And Proverbs chapter 27 and the verse 1 states, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Almighty God has placed within every man, woman, and child a desire to live. And it's only a natural thing to desire to see tomorrow. It's only a natural thing to plan and organize for tomorrow and to set our ambitions and our dreams and all of those things ready as if tomorrow was going to approach. But I want to say this to your soul today, my friend, that even though we may plan and we may organize and we may dream about tomorrow, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Let me say that again. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Now, we have this desire to keep on living. We have this desire to live a long and fruitful life. We have this desire to have many years upon the earth. But nonetheless, whether you be old or young, tomorrow is not guaranteed. And often we forget that. And we often forget that life is short. You know, in James chapter 4 and the verse 14, we find a similar theme to that of our text. It says in James 4 verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." You see the same sort of language there, as if tomorrow isn't guaranteed. We're not sure whether the next day will even come. And it says in the verse 14 of James 4, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Think of it like this. If you go home and you boil the kettle and maybe you want to make yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and the water will come to the boil, and as it comes to the boil, there'll be vapor come out of the top of the kettle, and you'll look at it and it will be there for a moment and then it will be gone. In a matter of seconds, the vapor is there and it's gone again. Well, that's how the Word of God likens your life and mine, as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And the Word of God is full of this truth that, yes, we would desire a long life, but ultimately we do not know if tomorrow will ever come, and therefore we must be prepared. We must be prepared for death. We must be prepared for the afterlife. We must be ready to meet our God. That's why the Word of God tells us in so many different places, prepare to meet thy God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All of these texts pointing us to an urgency of getting right with our Creator. Now, as we look at Proverbs chapter 27 and the verse 1, and I'll read it again, saying, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I want to leave with you three very brief points. And the first is this. Number one, the reason why tomorrow isn't guaranteed. The reason why tomorrow isn't guaranteed. Now, this is something that you may not want to hear. This is something you may not like. But nonetheless, as a preacher of the gospel, I must tell you this, that we all, every single one of us, man, woman, and child, from every nation around the globe throughout all of time, we all have a sin problem. And our sin condemns us to a lost eternity in hell. Now you say, well, preacher, you've got to explain this a little more. Well, you read in the earliest chapters of the book of Genesis how the Lord had made all things in His creation, and He made them all very good. And we find there was no sin initially in the world. And we find that Adam and Eve were given a very specific command in Genesis chapter 2. And that command was that they were to obey God. As simple as that. They were to obey God, and they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But sadly, we find in Genesis chapter 3 that it didn't take long before Adam and Eve, with the whisperings and the temptations of Satan, they disobeyed God, sin entered into the world, and the scriptures tell us, and death by sin. And all of those events in the Garden of Eden are very significant because the fall, sin entering into the world, that affects you and I today. If you have a Bible with you, I would encourage you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and the verse 12, it tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." That's referring to Adam. That's referring to the Garden of Eden and the earliest chapters of Genesis. That's referring to the fall of Adam. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, the actions of Adam all those years ago, they affect you and I today. You may try and dispute that. You may say, "Well, I'm a good person." You may say, "Well, preacher, you don't know anything about me." Friend, I know enough about you to say this, that you're a sinner. Because in Exodus chapter 20, we read of the law of God. And the law of God, or the Ten Commandments, as they are often known, we find that we read commandment after commandment after commandment. And you will find, if you review it, that actually you're guilty not just of one law or two laws or even eight or nine laws, but we are guilty of all the law. Now, when we read, let's take, for example, Exodus 20 in the verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." What solemn words they are. And you say, "Well, preacher, I haven't worshipped another God." I ask you, haven't you? Is there anything in your life that has come ahead of God and you love it more than God? Then, friend, that's a false God in your life. Whether you look at another command, and it says in the verse 12, "Honor thy father and thy mother." I'm sure each and every one of us would admit to that at least. And maybe if you were to dispute the fact, if I was to ask your mother or father, I'm sure they would clarify that, yes, you too have broken that command just like I have. But maybe you say, "Well, preacher, I'm a good person, really. You don't know my life. I give to charity. I go to church. I even read my Bible. I try and pray at times. I'm a good, clean, living person." And when it comes to the law of God, and it says in the verse 13 and the verse 14, for example, "Thou shalt not kill," or "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Maybe you say, "Well, preacher, I haven't done those things. I'm not guilty of breaking that law." But I say, haven't you? Because the Lord Jesus in the New Testament compared hatred to murder. He compared lust to adultery. Friend, when we review the law of God and even what we could term as the worst crimes in the law, we're guilty, completely guilty. And Romans chapter 3 tells us, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And Romans 3 verse 23 clarifies it for us and says, "For all have sinned." I have sinned, you have sinned, all of us have sinned. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have fallen short of the divine standards of God. That's what the Bible tells us. And when we review our sin, and we find in Romans 6 verse 23 that it says, "For the wages of sin is death." There is a punishment for lawlessness. There is a punishment for breaking the law. We know this. If you were to drive down the road at ridiculous speeds and the police were to catch you, and you would know there is a punishment for the crime. So it is with God. And it's eternal death in hell forevermore for our sin, our breaking of God's law. And you say, "Well, what's that got to do with our verse in Proverbs 27 and the verse 1? Well, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Tomorrow isn't guaranteed because death is in the world. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed because death came into the world because of our sin. And we need to acknowledge that. But then when we look at this question, will tomorrow ever come? We see the reason why tomorrow isn't guaranteed. But I want you to notice, secondly, the redemption that can be guaranteed. Now, even though we don't know if the sun will rise for our souls in the morning, we may put our head upon the pillow at night and we may never wake up in the morning. We may be ushered out into God's eternity. We don't know tomorrow will be guaranteed for our soul. But one thing we can be sure of is that we're saved, we're redeemed, and we're ready for heaven and home. You can be sure of that, my friend. You can know that you are saved. And how can you know that? Well, Romans 5 and the verse 8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us. Isn't that an astonishing truth? That God would love us, sinners, lawbreakers, those that deserve death in hell, but God commendeth, assureth his love toward us. And you ask, well, does the Lord know of my crime? Does the Lord know of all that I've done against him? He knows exactly what you've done. Because Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, God knows your sin. And because of your sin, the word of God says, Christ died for us. Oh friend, let me just tell you about our blessed Savior for a moment. You remember, we've looked at the law of God and we find that we have broken God's law. We have disobeyed God's law. We, to an extent, the way we live our lives, we have thrown the word of God away. We have disregarded it. But Christ, he completely obeyed the law, fully satisfied all of the law's demands. And as the perfect substitute, he died in the place of his people. He took the wrath and the punishment due to his people. And what a Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. When we consider the cross, when we consider the lashings upon his back, when we consider the crown of thorns upon his brow, when we consider how he was mocked and he was berated and how they bowed down to him and said, Hail, hail, King of the Jews, and they didn't mean a word of it. When we think how they put a cross upon his back and they made him drag it till he could carry it no longer. When we think how they nailed him to the tree. When we think how he hung there and he bled and he died and he shed his blood so that we could be redeemed. And friend, more than just the physical agonies of the cross, upon that tree, the Bible tells us that he bore our sin upon his own body. And he bore the wrath of God. He endured the hell that we deserve. And he did it for us. And all we've got to do is turn from our sin, repent of our sin, ask God to forgive us our sin, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible tells us. It's wonderful. You don't have to do good works. You don't have to do a checklist to get yourself to glory. You just have to repent and believe the gospel. But then, my friend, not only the reason why tomorrow isn't guaranteed, because of our sin. And the redemption that can be guaranteed if only you would trust him. But then thirdly, the reward that is far better. The reward that is far better. Because as we think of our text in Proverbs 27 and the verse 1, and the way it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I want to tell you, once you are right with God, once you have accepted the Savior, once the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away every sin and stain of yours, something far greater than tomorrow is there to look forward to in your soul. And that's heaven. That's glory. That's the streets made of gold. The Bible says such pure gold, it is as transparent glass. Mansions in the sky, the angelic chorus. But friend, I want to tell you this. The real beauty of heaven is not the gold or the mansions or the angels or even being reunited with the saints. The true glory and reward of heaven will be to see the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, face to face and sing the story, saved by grace. And I ask, instead of boasting of tomorrow, instead of looking for tomorrow, instead of hoping and praying that tomorrow will exist, friend, are you ready for the eternal tomorrow? Are you ready for the day and hour when you will wake up in God's eternity? Are you ready for that time when you'll stand before God and you'll have to give an account of yourself? Because, friend, there's only one of two places you will end up. It's either God's heaven or God's hell. And I trust that even now you will prepare to meet thy God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let's bow in a word of prayer together and ask for the Lord's help at this time. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee and praise thee for all that Christ has accomplished for us. And Lord, thou knowest at times in our folly that we like to look forward to tomorrow and the things of this world and the pleasures of sin for a season. But, O God, we do pray that thou would help us to look into eternity and think about the great eternity, the great tomorrow. And Lord, we pray that thou would help us to prepare for heaven through repenting, believing the gospel, and having the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanse us from all of our sin. Oh, Father, we do pray if there be any listening to the word today that isn't yet saved, that thou be pleased to move in their hearts. Show them now they can be saved. Show them that all they have to do is cry, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we ask that even through the preaching of thy word, many souls may be won to Jesus Christ. Undertake for the need. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.